I know we're jumping around, but at the time you became the only female college sideline reporter. At that time, the National Football League did not allow sideline reporters at all.
No.
Men or women.
They didn't. And this is a funny story, and again, we're going to jump around a little bit, but when I had my first interview with Dennis Swanson, and he had just fired OJ and Joe Namath from Monday Night Football, one of the questions he asked me was, well, what do you think you'd like to do for us? And I said, well, I think you need somebody on Monday Night Football now. But of course, sideline reporters weren't allowed, but he kind of liked the answer, I think. No, there were no sideline reporters, male or female.
I've forgotten, why did he fire O.J. Simpson and Joe Namath?
He just thought they weren't doing a good job.
And who, was that when Howard Cosell came on then?
Maybe? No, Howard Cosell was before them.
Okay.
So that following, after he fired O.J. and Joe Namath, it was just Frank Gifford and Al Michaels.
That's right.
The following year, he added Dan Dierdorf.
All right.
So they went back to the three-person booth.
Yeah.
And now, of course, excuse me, but you can see sideline reporters on Monday on all NFL football, and it's almost always a woman.
It is always a female, mostly, yes. And were you able to get the stories, obviously, that those in the booth didn't have? Wasn't that make you feel good? Were the coaches open to you? Probably not as much as they are today for your reporting during a game and pick up on information.
So that following fall, I'm named to one of the college football teams. Like I said earlier, we had two teams. The A team was Keith Jackson, Bob Greasy, and Lynn Swann. The B team was Gary Bender, Dick Vermeil, who was a Super Bowl winning NFL coach, and myself. I was the sideline reporter. So that year, ABC had the Big Ten and the Pac-10. Most of my games, because the Big Ten wasn't as good as the Pac-10 that year, so the B team got those, and I was the B team. Most of my games were in the Big Ten. But we had a lot of Ohio State games. Michigan State was really good that year. Michigan, of course. And it just so happened, John Cooper, who had been at the University of Tulsa, yeah, and who was a good friend of mine, was the coach at Ohio State.
So he was open to interviews anytime?
He was open to interviews anytime I wanted. And his wife was a friend of mine also, and she was always in the stands. I think I interviewed her one time. I would say the coaches were always really open to talking to me. And I don't think they looked at me as a woman as much as they looked at me as someone just trying to do. But normally the coach interviews would come maybe before the game, but for certain after the game. And again, it would all depend on the amount of time we had left. Sometimes it was 30 seconds. Sometimes it could be 3 or 4 minutes.
Well, as a sideline reporter then, were you trying to, what were you saying? What were you reporting?
I noticed they're not doing this as much, but we were trying to add a lot of color to the game. You know, college football is a big, colorful event. There's a lot going on. There's the band. There are the cheerleaders. There are, you know, all these different things going on at a college football game. So we tried to, there's a lot of tradition to talk about, especially in a place like the Big Ten, where they've been playing football forever. So we would try to bring a lot of color to the game. In addition to injury reports was certainly something, you know, that we were responsible for. If someone was coming off the field and had broken a bone, you know, they would look to us to give as much information as we could find out about that specific injury. Maybe something we overheard on the sidelines. Let's think about that OU-Texas game, and I'll talk about that since this is Voices of Oklahoma. Here are some of the things I talked about during that game, and that was obviously the year before because I didn't do it the second year. Brian Bosworth's hairstylist, because remember he had the rainbow-colored hair?
Yeah.
I interviewed her about how that hairstyle came about. I interviewed a young boy that Brian Bosworth, a young boy who had a very serious illness and was hospitalized much of the time here in Tulsa, the Children's Medical Center. And Brian befriended that boy and would often go to see him. So I interviewed that boy and his father. So those were the kinds, you know, some of the kinds of stories that would be of interest that weren't necessarily pertaining to the specific events that were happening on the field.
Right, but it added a
great dimension to the event.
Right.
So now I'm in the Big Ten most of the time. I did have one game that year in the Pac-10, and I'll never forget it because it was in October at Arizona State in Tempe, and it was 118 on the field that day.
Wow.
It was hot. And I had to be prepared at any given time to cover a game that was maybe snowing and 10 degrees, or that was the other extreme, of course, was the 118 degrees in Tempe.
Were you enjoying it? Were you having fun?
I did enjoy that. I did. I didn't like the extreme weather, obviously, but yes, I liked the college football.
There's a tremendous amount of attention that must have come to you and the public. Maybe you go out in the street and whatever, and there's Becky Dixon, and they want to talk to you, and you were in New York. All that went on, didn't it?
Some of it, yes. A lot of it, it seems like the student sections, especially in the Big Ten, where they all were getting used to me because I was there almost every weekend that season, they would chant my name when I would come around to maybe where the student section was sitting.
Ask for autographs and all that came to you. So that had to be fun.
It was a good time.